talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Charleston Fall Home Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song seemed like a natural to play this one in the summertime. Is This Love by Bob Marley. In addition to the great Chris Isaacs Talking About a Home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Bailey Baker. And if you're not familiar with the home theme songs, each week we play a little clip of a song that mentions the home or anything to do with the home. And it's just a nice little distraction to include in our radio show. Well, in addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine. Winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which takes place every February, and the Charleston Fall Home Show, which happens every October. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. This is like one of those, sometimes the interviews that we play, they're interesting. You learn a lot. This one is very timely in the sense that, we're going to be talking with Tim Smith with Windward Shutters, about how to protect your home with hurricane protection. And then also, you may have been hearing about the forever chemicals that there was a report released by the EPA recently about forever chemicals in our drinking water. And so we'll be talking with Dan Geiger with Advanced Water Systems about how to keep your drinking water at home clean. And I always like to mention this when it comes to drinking water. Do you know where your drinking water comes from? I know the faucet, right? But our drinking water in Charleston, I guess they typically refer to it as city water. That comes from the Edisto River. And so just imagine how that's about 40 miles away, how far that water from the Edisto River has to travel to, the water treatment plant and so forth. And, in my opinion, you cannot have clean enough water in your drinking water. And this interview with Dan Geiger with Advanced Water Systems can definitely enlighten you about that. But I wanted to take a moment just to say farewell to, if you're a regular listener, you may have noticed the show producer I usually mention is Paige Taylor, and she's not just the producer but our managing editor, and she has gotten a great opportunity with a new job in Nashville, Tennessee. And so I just wanted to say goodbye to her and Let our listeners know how valuable she has been to all of us here at Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And on behalf of everyone at Charleston Home and Design Magazine, we wish her well in her new endeavor, and big shoes to fill, but that ball keeps rolling. Life goes on, and we will finding a replacement for her and being able to put out the best possible magazine that we can here in the Charleston area. And speaking of that, have you picked up the summer issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine? It has Brandon Lake. And he started at Seacoast Church as a singer, and has half a million Instagram followers. Has got albums out. You can hear him on Spotify. Pick up the latest issue, our summer issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine, around just about every home-related showroom around Charleston, and have a great weekend. And talking to us now is Tim Smith with Windward Shutters. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. Tim, take a moment and tell everyone about Windward Shutters.
Okay, I'll try and keep it brief. I started Windward Shutters in 1996. We were exclusively doing hurricane protection then. We've since kind of morphed into doing hurricane protection and also decorative operable shutters, for the aesthetics on homes. But I think we're pretty much the oldest hurricane protection company in South Carolina.
Excellent, excellent. 1996, so that was about 7 years 20, after Hugo.
Hugo was 89.
89, yeah. And yeah. Were you in Charleston for Hugo?
I was not. I was in Aiken in my senior year of high school. So I moved to start the College of Charleston the following fall. So when I got here, I still saw a lot of, hurricane damage all throughout Charleston, but certainly even years later in the Francis Marion Forest where all the pine trees had been broken down. So I've been in Charleston for 33 years now.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like Hurricane Hugo had an impact on you in terms of leading you toward getting into the hurricane shutter business?
I don't think that did. It had more to do with me wanting to start an own my own business. And then after college, it was right after the naval base had closed and the job market was really poor here. And, I go on interview after interview trying to get a job with a salary and ended up working at a clam farm out at Folly. And then from there working on boats, and then from there working for 84 Lumber, and then installing windows, and then started installing hurricane protection. The company I was working for then was basically on its way out of business when I started. So only, maybe 3 or 4 months after I started, they basically were folding up shop, and I just, looked at the lay of the land and decided this was something I could do.
Gotcha.
So, I just saw an opportunity.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Tim, you've certainly had a good bit of experience with hurricanes since opening your business in 1996. Can you name how many hurricanes hurricane scares we've had here in the Charleston area?
I don't know off the top of my head. I can tell you that Hurricane Floyd in, I believe, 99 yep. was the first really big scare, and that was the one. If you were living in Charleston, you'll remember that was the evacuation nightmare. Oh, yeah. Where they didn't, they were not reversing the lanes on 26 at that time. So people were in their cars for, 20 plus hours. That was one thing that South Carolina learned as far as like traffic patterns and evacuating. Since then, we've grown probably exponentially. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next mass evacuation. But we went a good number of years after Floyd without a hurricane scare. And then we had 5 or 6 years in a row up until, you know, about 2 years ago where there was mandatory situations. So it certainly is becoming more and more often.
Mm-hmm. Do you have hurricane shutters on your own home?
I do, yeah.
And
I still feel like I'm able to get up and down a ladder and, you know, carry things and operate tools from a ladder. So I have removable hurricane panels on all of my openings, but we sell, you know, basically every product you can imagine that goes on the exterior of the home. And each product that we sell in addition to the hurricane panels makes putting them up and taking them down or securing the home more convenient.
Right.
Easy to do.
Do you feel a certain sense of security having, you know, with during some of those hurricane scares where you've put up the panels on to protect your window and door openings, a particular sense of security that you're going to be able to ride this one out?
Yeah, so I don't ever ride any of them out. I'm one of these folks. Probably has to do with all the years I worked offshore. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Mother Nature, and I don't want to put myself and certainly not my family in a situation where, you know, we're all terrified that the house is going to come apart or we're all going to drown. I would rather be, you know, 50 miles, 100 miles inland and not have to worry about it. But as far as the peace of mind of having the hurricane protection, you know, say the other 364 days out of the year, it certainly there's a lot of peace of mind. That's really the biggest value, I think, with having hurricane protection. And then the actual protecting of the home once the hurricane comes is super important. But I don't recommend anybody be in that home, because you know, Mother Nature is unpredictable. And that hurricane could stall. They could be calling for a category 1 or 2, and it could stall off the coast and pick up a whole bunch of wind speed and then slam right into us. At that point, there's no leaving. And now your life's in danger. And, you know, if you talk to anyone who really, people talk about living through hurricanes all the time. Most of the time they're talking about living through a hurricane scare, or maybe the hurricane came within 50 miles of their house or whatever it was. If you talk to people, for instance, that were in McClellanville, South Carolina, when Hugo came through, ask them if they would stay for another hurricane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
The answer is no. They're in their attics praying that they're not going to all drown. You know?
Yeah, that's
so. I don't want to do that.
Gotcha. What do you say to people who say, I have insurance, so I, you know, if my house gets wrecked, the insurance will take care of it. So why should I buy hurricane protection for my windows and doors?
So I would just say that you're talking about your life changing for probably 2 years. If you lose your home, let's say 5% of the people in Charleston lose their home. Where are those people going to live? You know, I mean, we already have like a shortage of new home starts. Then you have to have all these contractors come in from out of town. You have to get in a long line behind that. You have to worry about insurance, whatever objects of sentimental value that you've accumulated through your life, that's all gone. I mean, if you sit down and think about that, I guess if you live like in a home where everything is like a hotel and everything's just easily replaceable, you just get on Pottery Barn and order a bunch of new stuff, you know, maybe that's not as big of a deal. I've got, you know, antiques from my deceased mother all over my house. I've got things that are not replaceable, mm-hmm. and I want to protect those things.
Right.
And the home itself.
Yeah. People don't think about the aftermath of a hurricane, yeah. and being without electricity and
oh, yeah.
losing your roof. Water. And I'm going to ask you about kind of the science of what happens when a hurricane hits your impacts your home in a second here. But I did want to ask you, you know, today, if you are planning to build a new home, or if you do an extensive remodel project where you're really upgrading the value of your house, whatever municipality you live in, whether it's Mount Pleasant or Sullivan's Island or wherever, it's required by code that you have hurricane protection of some sort for your windows and doors. Is that right?
That is, and you know, you mentioned Hurricane Hugo. The one, I guess, shortcoming I see with South Carolina is we did not learn from Hurricane Hugo like Florida learned from Hurricane Andrew. Mm-hmm. After Hurricane Andrew came through, Florida basically revamped all their building codes, all their hurricane protection codes, and required, you know, very effective hurricane protection on new construction. South Carolina, although they do require hurricane protection on new construction, they allow an exemption to the code, which is, 7/16 OSB or half inch plywood. The fasteners do have to be permanent on the house, but that hurricane, you know, quote unquote, hurricane protection or exemption to the hurricane protection is not effective hurricane protection. It doesn't pass any of the impact testing that the hurricane shutters or impact windows have to pass. It's offered as an exemption to the code. So I would really love to see them remove that exemption, because they're essentially saying, well, listen, we don't want you to have to pay for hurricane protection or impact glass windows, so we're going to let you do this plywood. I don't know what the percentage of people that live in Charleston are that physically are capable of climbing up a 32-foot ladder and putting a 4x6-foot sheet of OSB over a twin window, but I would imagine it's in the single digits. Mm-hmm. I don't see that. The practicality of that is just it's not there. I just don't see people physically whatever knowledge is needed with those tools and the ability to get that stuff up those tall ladders. Most people don't have tall ladders. If they do, they're putting their lives in danger to put that plywood up.
Yeah.
So I just don't think it's effective hurricane protection.
Yeah, I've heard stories about it being sort of an afterthought. The in order to get the certificate of occupancy, the builder will cut the plywood and label it.
Yeah.
And leave it in your garage, and there's kind of a wink and a nod to the homeowner. Hey, you know, you can use this for whatever purposes.
To floor your attic.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, and here's the thing. I want to add, it is better than nothing. It's certainly better than, you know, I used to work at a lumber yard, and people would show up before a hurricane and all the plywood is gone, and they're buying, you know, $150 sheets of cabinet grade oak plywood to put over their windows. So it's certainly better that they have it than not have it. I just don't see people using it and being able to use it, you know.
Yeah.
And I do want to mention one thing. If you do have that plywood or that OSB in your garage, don't wait until a hurricane's coming to test it out. I mean, there's a chance it might not fit. There's a chance that the guy cut it wrong or put the fasteners in the wrong place. I would randomly pick two or three sheets of that plywood, pull it out Saturday morning, pull it out, put it up on the window, make sure it fits, make sure you understand how to use it, make sure there's no tools that you need that you don't have, because the day before a hurricane, 2 days before a hurricane, is not the time to determine that.
Right. And try to find somebody to put that up for you. You know, somebody says, well, I've got that plywood in the garage. I'll just hire somebody I won't have to get up on a ladder myself. But try to find someone in a period of time, 72 hours before a hurricane is, you know, they can't make those predictions accurately until, you know, the hurricane is pretty much bearing down on you, and then try to find somebody to do that work. And we all have, well, if you've lived in Charleston long enough, you've experienced what the days leading up to a hurricane strike are like. It's very breezy. You're already starting to feel the impacts. It might be tropical force winds, not hurricane force winds, but those big pieces of plywood act like a sail when you're trying to carry them up on a ladder, right?
Yeah, so I would add this: when a hurricane's coming, it basically sucks all the bad weather into it from a long distance away. So you may have a couple of days of sunny, hot weather right before a hurricane. So if you're waiting until the wind's picking up, you've probably waited too long to evacuate. But when you talk about finding someone to put that plywood up, that's something that you need to do now, today or tomorrow, because when a hurricane's coming, the people with ladders and labor that are capable of doing those things, they're doing it for people they've already
have a relationship with.
They have a relationship with, or they already have an agreement. And then I'll add, if you have an agreement with a company or folks that do that, you better make sure they're trustworthy, because when an emergency happens, people start panicking, people start throwing money at people, and things change. So that's something that, you know, if you have a company that you've done work with before that you trust, that's a level of comfort, a level of peace of mind, but you may want a backup plan. And then secondly, if you live in a gated community like Kiowa, for instance, there's a certain point where, for security reasons, they say if you're not a resident of this community, you're not coming through this gate. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if you have a contractor pass or not. If you don't live on the island, you're not coming in the gate. So there's also a clock that's ticking. And you know, some of this stuff, especially plywood, is incredibly time consuming. So I would imagine it's easy for someone to overpromise what they're capable of doing in a certain finite amount of time, and then the folks that are towards the end of that list end up not getting the plywood put up.
Right. And I read a long time ago that insurance companies won't cover a loss, because if you claim after the fact that you had plywood put up on your windows, they want photos ahead of time and things like that. So but the point I was trying to make before was that there's a lot of older homes that, when I say older, maybe 15 years old or older, that are probably out of compliance in terms of the current building codes, and their homes don't have any kind of hurricane protection, which is required by code today if you were to build a new house. And how vulnerable are those homes that do not have hurricane protection and are out of code, basically?
Yeah, they're very vulnerable. I think 2003 was when the state adopted the International Building Code. I'm pretty sure that's accurate. I was at all those meetings in Columbia. And then 2007 is when they really started enforcing everything, like the garage doors, the straps all on the roofing, that kind of thing, and the hurricane protection aspect. So, yeah, if your house was built prior to 2006, there's certainly aspects of your house that are not going to make it as strong if your house was built in 2007, assuming that your builder did whatever the minimum code requirements were. It used to be that in building, you relied in some ways on gravity. You know, the roof is held to the wall with some nails and gravity. Well, you start getting the cyclic pressures of a hurricane and the lift of hurricane winds on that roof, and that roof comes off like the top of a peanut butter jar or something. I mean, it just, the whole thing comes off. now with the building codes like they are, everything is attached from the foundation to the peak of the roof. So if a giant were to reach under that house and pick that house up and turn it upside down, nothing would fall off. Mm-hmm. It's all tied together.
Yeah. Well, I did want to talk to you about what happens. Let's get into, you know, a little bit of the science of a hurricane in layman's terms for our listeners. But what happens when a hurricane is bearing down and your neighbor's grill or lawn furniture that they didn't put away that like they should have? A gust of wind picks up that chair and it smashes into your window. What happens in terms of the lift that affects your roof and so forth?
So, without getting in, you know, I'm not a weather expert, but without getting into like, you know, the tornadoes that are spawned by hurricanes and the, you know, super high wind gusts and the rising water and all those other aspects that, and the waves on top of that water and the tides, without getting into all those happy or, you know, I say that sarcastically, aspects of a hurricane, the building envelope, they call it the building envelope. You want to keep the building envelope intact. And what that means is you don't want doors getting blown open. You don't want windows being broken. You don't want roof sheathing coming off, because once that envelope is jeopardized, now you've allowed an entry point for the wind to get inside the home, and which creates lift from the inside. And once that lift is created, now not only do you have all the forces acting on the house from the exterior, you also have forces acting on the house from the interior. So, you know, I did a lot of hurricane protection testing at Clemson University, and the gentleman, I don't remember his name off the top of my head, the professor that was in charge of that said, you know, a lot of folks come in here and they want to test, well, what happens when this aspect of the hurricane is acted upon, you know, so we'll pull it this way. Well, that's not what happens in a hurricane. In a hurricane, lots of things are happening. So you have to try and do your best to test for all those things at once. So just rather than testing something, pulling from one end and the other, like a tug of war, you're pulling from one end and the other and twisting and turning and pushing and everything else. So there's a lot going on in a hurricane. And the best you can hope for is that you keep the building envelope intact.
Yeah. And on the flip side of that, if your windows and doors do have some sort of hurricane protection, which they can get from talking to the folks at Windward Shutters, you're not going to have that wind that may enter your home, which may end up impacting the loss of your roof, and then you've got all the rain and everything that's flooding your house. But if your windows are protected, what will the homeowner experience?
You mentioned the rain. You know, certainly I was just talking about the wind getting inside the home, but obviously if the doors get blown open or the windows get broken, you're going to have a tremendous amount of water coming into the house, certainly if it gets into your roof. So let's say you evacuate. If you're smart, you evacuate in a major hurricane. And then, you know, it's several days before we're going to have power or water, however many days it takes you to get home. And then from that point, however many days it takes, you know, a disaster repair contractor to get to your home and start working on your home. I mean, you've got lots of problems.
Right.
You know, moisture, mold, you know, eventual rot, termites, you name it. So it's really important to keep the windows and doors from being jeopardized.
Right. Well, let's talk about the fun stuff, which is, you know, yeah. Tim, do you usually meet a homeowner at their house to talk about some of the hurricane protection options from Windward Shutters?
Yeah, so either I meet with them or one of our salespeople meets with them. We've got some really experienced, knowledgeable salespeople. I think my head salesperson has been with us for 19 years. She probably knows more about the sales aspect of the business than I do. But yeah, what we do is we sit down and we talk. First of all, we talk about what the client wants based upon what they've already researched or decided. Then we determine, is that feasible based upon, you know, the clearances around the openings, or which, you know, whether the opening is a casement window or a single hung or double hung window, outswing door. You know, there's a lot of things to take into consideration. But if they don't have any knowledge about hurricane protection, we look at the house and go, okay, these are the options that will work for you. What is your budget? What do you want? You know, how long do you see yourself living in the home? Because a lot of folks will be close to retirement age and they're like, hey, I can do this today, but I'm not going to be able to do it in 5 or 10 years. So they plan ahead for what they feel like they'll be capable of doing at that point. So I feel like we're really good at that, you know. And, you know, with hurricane protection, everything that we sell is effective hurricane protection. If it wasn't, I wouldn't sell it. But the more money you spend, the more convenient it's going to be.
Exactly.
You know, you can spend, if you've got the budget for it, you can go on your phone and press a button and have your house seal up like the bat, you know, like some kind of Batman cave. But
is that with the roll downs, you know, the automatic roll downs?
Yeah, with the motorized roll downs, there's all kinds of motors and phone apps and technology for that. That gets expensive to try and do the whole house. So most of the time folks end up using that on openings that are either hard to get to or, you know, larger openings that some other type of hurricane protection might not be feasible to use. We sell pretty much every product that's been around for a while that's on the exterior of the home. We sell. I don't get too much into, you know, what came out this year or last year, because most of the time I've found in my 27 years or so is that those products for one reason or another end up not working out. So mm-hmm. I don't like having my clients be guinea pigs. We stick with what works and what we know.
And the nice thing is a lot of times homeowners that are choosing different shutter styles, those shutters are enhancing the appearance of your home 365 days a year. And talk about some of those different shutter options that people they enjoy having them on their home. They make their home look nice, and they get the double benefit of protecting them when a storm is coming.
Yeah, so that would be the Colonial and the Bahama shutters. People call Bahama shutters, you know, 10 or 12 different things, Caribbean, Key West, Bermuda, but they're the shutter that's hinged at the top and sits out at an angle. Mm-hmm. Those shutters, we sell almost an infinite amount of options there, you know, louver sizes, louver spacing, you know, the materials, the type of paint, whether it's powder coated, you know, or whatever the case may be, the impact rated versions of those shutters are going to be, you know, a tighter louver spacing, a stronger material. So those come in both just decorative and impact. And that's also the case with the Colonial shutters. And it's amazing what those two, you know, either a combination or one of those products will add to your home. The Bahama shutters especially add dimension to a home because they come off of the house. So if you have a house that just has four sides, looks like a box, you put Bahama shutters on it and it really changes and improves the architecture of the home. They have lots of additional, you know, added features and benefits. You know, with Bahama shutters, you have privacy, you have shading, that kind of thing. With the Colonial shutters, it's just an aesthetic thing as far as having those on the house, they really add to the home. It's like if your face, you know, didn't have eyebrows and then you added eyebrows. I mean, they really improve the look of the home. And both of those shutters are very convenient because they're permanently attached to the house and all you have to do is close them.
Right. And are there any limitations to the colors of these different shutter options that you can order?
Yeah, so it depends. We offer several different types, so it really depends on which type you choose. But in all the types that we sell, there's X number of standard colors, whether, you know, one line may have 30 standard colors, another line may have 130 standard colors. But if you can't find a color in those two fan decks, then you can do a custom color. It's just an additional charge.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, good deal. Well, I know that people are famous for calling windward shutters like 2 days before a storm is going to hit and saying, hey, can you put up shutters on our house? And I'm sure it's hard not to kind of chuckle when you get a call like that. But what's the backup time, the lead time today required for, you know, if someone calls windward shutters?
So that's a really good question. And let me say this, the folks that call me 2 days before a hurricane are never my client, because that same gentleman or that same lady that calls 2 days before a hurricane, let's say that hurricane does not destroy their house, and we return that call when we get back from evacuating, and they're not interested anymore. It's really just the urgency. There's some kind of psychological benefit folks get from making that phone call. I think it makes them feel better when they're leaving their unprotected house that they made that phone call. But that phone call does not protect your home. You really need to call us, you know, 4 or 5 weeks before a hurricane at minimum. I'm very conservative with our lead times. I don't like to overpromise and underdeliver. I like to do the opposite. So if I tell you it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks, that's a very conservative estimate. I don't tell people 2 weeks and then come in four. Mm-hmm. So, most all of these products are custom made for the home, and that takes a little bit of time. And if somebody tells you they can do it in a much shorter period of time, it's one of two things. They're either being dishonest with you, or they have so little business that they're able to do that because they have nothing else going on, which should make you very suspect of that company being able to service your products 20 years down the road.
Right.
If it's needed.
Gotcha. Well, what's the best way to reach out to Windward Shutters?
Well, I'll give you the old fashioned way. Our phone number is 843-881-6662. Again, 843-881-6262, or you can go on our website, which is windwardshutters.com. And one of the downsides of being in business for 26, 27 years is the internet wasn't really that big of a deal back when I started my company, or I would not have named it Windward Shutters, because it's very easy to misspell. It's WINDWARD and then Shutters. So that would be the best way to reach us.
Good deal. All right. Well, we've been talking with Tim Smith with Windward Shutters. Thanks so much, Tim.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
And now we're talking with Dan Geiger with Advance Water Systems. How you doing, Dan?
Very well. How are you today?
Good. Dan, take a moment and tell everyone about Advance Water Systems.
We are a local water treatment company to the Charleston area. We also have offices as far south as Savannah, all the way up to Chesapeake, North Carolina, or Chesapeake, Virginia. We solve water problems for people. We have a variety of different products that can fix certain things, such as hard water, filtered water, even chemicals that are possibly in your water.
Gotcha. And I heard a report that came out last week from the Environmental Protection Agency, and I thought of Advance Water Systems immediately. And I said we need to talk to you about this report that just came out. And I know that I'm sure you're not the type of person that wants to, you know, kind of, you know, drum up any fear in anyone or anything like that. But this was a pretty eye-opening report that the EPA came out about forever chemicals in our water. And can you kind of talk about the report? I'm sure you read it thoroughly.
Certainly. And we've been dealing with this this chemical for quite a long time, actually. It is it's called a forever chemical because it doesn't break down as easily as other chemicals that are possibly in water or you know, food or whatever we eat and drink. But yes, this chemical has been around for a while. Basically, its root is the nonstick from our pots and pans.
Teflon.
The Teflon. And right now, my business partners in North Carolina have a major contract to clean this particular chemical out of residential commercial water supplies all up and down the Cape Fear River in North Carolina. So I'm very familiar with it. It is something that the chemical is growing, not growing as a chemical, but growing into different areas. It is somewhat easy to remove through reverse osmosis and filtration. But yeah, the EPA has not set a limit on this. That's why we haven't heard a whole lot publicly about it. They still have not set the minimum standards for the water municipalities right now to have to treat this.
And the main forever chemical that they mentioned in the EPA report last week, and I'm probably going to mispronounce it, but the acronym is it PFAS?
PFAS. Yep.
PFAS. Yep. And yep. Polyfluoral alkyl substances is
yes.
And those are the forever chemicals that you just mentioned that come from our pots and pans.
Exactly. It also, and I'm sure everybody that's listening to us right now has heard about the Camp Lejeune lawsuit. That was actually a PFAS chemical that was in the water there at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina because of fire fighting foam.
Gotcha.
And so that there is this PFAS really is not just nonstick or Teflon, but it's in a lot of other things that we've used throughout the years. Mm-hmm. And still used today.
Well, I've brought this up when I've interviewed you in the past, and I think it is worthy to mention now. You know, everybody, the term city water is something that most people are familiar with. You know, there's well water and then there's city water. And city water for like the Charleston area, can you tell us where city water comes from?
Yeah, there's two or three different areas that the different municipalities pull water from. The lakes, the Santee Lakes north of Mount Pleasant is one area, and then the Edgestone River is the other area that most of the municipalities pull water from. So it is all surface water that's subject to runoff and things of that nature.
And I can think back to my earlier days. I've taken many a canoe trip down the Edisto River, and they call that a black water waterway. It's because it's slow moving, and you really you can't see the bottom. There are a lot of minerals in there, and so forth. And if I'm correct, the Edisto River is it's about an hour south of Charleston, and I just want our listeners to think about this for a second. So the water is coming from, as you mentioned, some of the lakes north of Mount Pleasant, and then also the Edisto River. That water has to get to the treatment plant here in Charleston some way, and there's a pipe that brings it in. How old do you think some of the pipe and infrastructure of those pipes is these days?
You know, I'm sure that they've been there for quite a while. I wouldn't even know where to begin how to put a number on how many years they were there, but Some of the infrastructure, especially downtown Charleston, is just old. So,
right. So that water comes in from the Edisto River, the same water that, you know, I remember seeing a water moccasin and other wildlife that, you know, poops in the water. That water travels, through a very long pipeline and goes to the treatment plant. And a lot of the that water is treated and makes it clean. But they're not taking out some of those forever chemicals, are they?
No, they aren't. And you know, to give our municipalities credit, they do a great job of sending us a safe water. They are all there are things in there that are nuisances, but yes, the water is safe to drink. They do treat it with chlorine and coagulation and filtration to get some of the sediment and things of that nature out of the water. The chlorine is used for disinfecting. We like to say that once it gets to your house, it's done its job. So we like to take it out because it is a chemical.
Well, but, yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Good. That was it.
Oh, well, and then on top of that, so you've got the water is traveling, you know, 40 miles or so by pipeline from the Edisto River to the treatment plant. And then once it's treated, it's going through miles of pipelines to get to your neighborhoods and then from your street to your house. And I can just imagine what the inside of those pipes looks like. Do the municipalities clean the pipes regularly?
They I can't. They flush the pipes with, you know, heavy water usage. Have you ever seen the fire hydrants running like crazy just out in the middle of nowhere? There's really no way to put a cleaner in there. So I think they're relying on the water flowing through there to take whatever's in there with it.
Yeah. I guess I'm just trying to paint a mental picture for our listeners about that water that's traveling through those pipelines. And, you can't control those. You have to take that leap of faith and assume that the municipalities are providing you with clean water, but you do have control over the water once it reaches your home. And, what do you tell homeowners about in terms of what advanced water systems can do once the water hits your home and what you can do to clean it up and remove some of those forever chemicals?
Yeah. So the forever chemicals, if they have them in their water, that again is a something where they would need to check with their municipality and see the level. The forever chemicals are, there's two ways to treat it. You can treat it for your whole house with specialized carbon through whole house filtration system that will remove them so you're not bathing or showering or cooking or drinking the chemicals. Or you can treat it with just a certified simple reverse osmosis unit that tucks in underneath your kitchen sink and supplies you with a unlimited supply of purified water.
That sounds pretty simple. I don't know why everyone doesn't have one of the two of those systems installed in their homes. And you've got a whole house option, plus you've got a one specifically for drinking water. What if somebody has like one of those little filters hooked up to either their refrigerator or the faucet for their tap water?
Regular carbon filtration will not take out chemicals, except for chlorine. Not even the ammonia side. The Charleston area, the disinfectant is called chloramines, which is ammonia and chlorine mixed together. So a refrigerator filter uses just a basic carbon. And 99.9% of the other filters that are under a sink or attachments to a sink only take out chlorine. They won't remove the any other chemicals, VOCs or forever chemicals.
How does the water, the filtered or the reverse osmosis water that Advance Water Systems can help folks with, how does it compare to, say, bottled water that they can buy?
Certain types of bottled water are actually all right. You really have to read the label to see what's in that water or how it was processed. Being an old bottled water veteran myself, I used to run a bottled water plant in Columbia and Charleston years and years ago. We used reverse osmosis for our process. Mm-hmm. So some of the waters are really good. Some of them are just kind of like a refrigerator filter type water. Mm-hmm. So it's really important you do your homework on reading the label, see what the process is on bottled water.
Yeah. I guess that's you know, if you asked a homeowner which is going to provide you a cleaner drinking water, a bottle of water, or, you know, water that's coming straight from the tap unfiltered, you know, they'd probably say the bottled water, but what you're telling me is the water that Advanced Water Systems helps people with at their home, that's above and beyond. That's superior to even what you get with bottled water.
Yeah, the bottled water process is very similar. The exception is you're putting it in a plastic container that was made from chemicals and all of those leach. So the water itself maybe was 99.9% pure or 98% pure when it was put into that bottle, but coming out of that bottle into your body, there most likely would be some type of a leach from the bottle itself, whether it be plastic or other chemicals that the bottle's made out of.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes those pallets of bottled water sits in unconditioned warehouses for months and months before it
yep.
and goes to the end user.
Yep.
Well, are there... Did the Advanced Water Systems, the water filtration systems, did they take up a lot of room in your house? Do you have to have a big house in order to have you place a system in there?
No, they're very, very compact in most cases. From the reverse osmosis standpoint, we actually have two of them. One of them is for a regular size sink, and then we have a smaller one that actually goes. We can fit underneath those low drop down country sinks that people are starting to put in their homes.
Mm-hmm. And what about folks with well water?
So we have a variety. I have over about 42 different systems that we sell for different things. You know, our well water around that this area here is. Some of it has sulfur, the rotten egg odor. We have automatic systems that remove that. Some of them have very hard water, that being also with city water people. We have water softeners that can take care of that. And then we have a variety of different things to raise pH levels if they have low pH, or even whole house reverse osmosis if they have salt intrusion.
Well, we've been talking a lot about the health aspect of having clean filtered waters with a water filtration system from Advanced Water Systems. But what about the health of some of the appliances in the home that uses that water?
Yeah, it's from a city water standpoint, some people in the Charleston area have a little bit of hard water. Hard water breaks down your soaps. It gets in your water heaters and turns back into its natural rock state. Especially a tankless heater, the calcium resolidifies and causes a buildup in those. From a filtration standpoint, if you ever were to take off the back of your toilet tank and reach down where that rubber flapper is that lifts up and down all the time, and rub your finger on it. It'll turn your finger black, and that's from the chlorine eating that rubber seal away, and that happens all throughout your house.
Hmm. And, you know, everybody just assumes because they want everything to run as it was when it was first installed, whether it be your dishwasher or your washing machine, or some of the faucets and shower fixtures that you use. But they're, you know, you're going to have to replace them at some point. And if you want to get a longer life out of those appliances, will it advance water systems? Will you folks be able to help them with that?
Yes, we will. That's, you know, one thing that water filtration or water softening or even water treatment will do from your house for your house is save all your water using appliances. What we normally do is we go into the house and we perform a water test to see what in the water could be affecting not only the person's health, but their home. And then we can recommend the proper system to help eliminate any long-term issues that they might have.
Gotcha. Well, I would imagine if there's one thing that you want to have, it's the cleanest water possible. Because you know, you use water so often, not just for drinking, but for showering and washing your clothes and dishes and so forth. If there's one thing that you really want to make sure not to scrimp on is the having the best, cleanest water that you possibly can. What's the best way that I'm sure you have conversations with homeowners every day about their particular situation. What's the best way for them to reach out to Advanced Water Systems?
Well, they can certainly visit our website at kineticocharleston.com. That's KINETICO charleston.com. Or they can call our office at 843-645-4450. Mm-hmm. Yep. And we would be more than happy to schedule an appointment to come out. We do, like I said, we do a free water analysis. It takes about 15 minutes, and then we can show the homeowner what different products we have that may be able to help them.
If you live in, would you say that older neighborhoods or newer neighborhoods are more susceptible to some of these different problems we've been talking about?
You know, it really depends on the water source. There's no real correlation to what neighborhood, you know, whether it's north, south, east, west, in Charleston. It's just a matter of the water coming through. Downtown Charleston, we seem to have more of an issue with people having small amounts of lead in their water just from some of their old plumbing or some of the old infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotcha. Well, we have been, and you can always find Advanced Water Systems within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on our website, charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with Dan Geiger about a very, very important topic, how to remove forever chemicals from your water. Thanks so much, Dan.
Thank you very much, and have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured in today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Tune in again next week.